Hey there, are you sick and tired of feeling sick and tired? Join Adel Kozilski and Faggy Stern as they explore ways to reverse chronic illness and achieve vibrant health. Your health is your only wealth, and together we can be better. Hashtag healthy you, wealthy you.
Good morning, and welcome to the Healthy You Show. We're at it again, trying to drive home the idea that we are, in fact, responsible for our health. Peggy, why are you smiling?
You know what I'm actually thinking? It's like, really, you just never stop learning. There's just always something to understand.
Indeed, there is always something to understand, and we are on a pursuit to try and change people's minds, and thank God for...
And something to, you know... be able to make ourselves healthier. It's amazing.
Great. That was a bit of a lag there. You were chatting and then you froze, Peggy. So I took over. So it sounds like we're both talking at the same time. But okay, we're good. Today we are going to be reintroducing Dr. Travis Mitchell. He's been around on a couple of our shows, very engaging and exciting. And I actually asked him, why is he coming back again? And he says he just loves being with us. And truthfully, the feeling is mutual. We love having a chat with him. It's so organic, and there's so much to learn and so much to discuss. And today we are going to discuss the lymphatic system. It's something that I've only learned probably in the last 4 or 5 years that I even have such a system in my body. So if you're curious, you have to hang around, you have to listen to us. And of course, you need to be part of the conversation. If you have any questions or you have a comment that you'd like to make on the show, 061-895-1019 is our WhatsApp number. Without further ado, good morning, Dr. Travis.
Good morning, ladies. Thank you so much for having me back. Yes, I love you guys to bits and pieces. And, when Faggy was saying about, learning all the time, I mean, in practice, what I studied, I've been in practice for 20 years. And what I studied in sort of anatomy and physiology 20 years ago, there's so much that has changed in the last 20 years. And it's exciting for me because some of the, if I can call them, antiquated understandings of the body have shifted massively. And I think the lymphatic system is one of those systems that are negated in many medical conversations. And I think that's a big error in medical or in healthcare.
So I was actually wondering, Dr. Travis, how you got into like this whole holistic, natural approach and understanding the body more, seeing that you're a chiropractor?
Yeah, so to answer that question, Faggy, I always answer it by saying pure frustration. I've been frustrated by things not working the way that I think it should, that would be in my own body, in my own health, as well as in my patients, and trying to figure out why is health such and why is illness such? And I think health and illness are two separate entities, and so if we're talking about illness care, I do think that's relatively simple. You take a medication for something, or you take a pain killer for something, or you have a surgery for something, and that's really good illness care. But that doesn't necessarily mean health care. And healthcare can be so diverse. And as I said, out of pure frustration, I've tried to find the next answer, at least for me and for my patients.
Absolutely. So let's start with ABC. How about giving our listeners and ourselves a definition on the lymphatic system?
So I'm going to take you ladies into the kitchen. And so you're in the kitchen and you're making a nice salad. And so you're cutting off all the bits and pieces that you don't use for the salad. And then you have that little, most of our new age kitchens, we've got that little lid that you lift, and then there's a dustbin in a cupboard and there's a hole on the counter, and you can just push all those things into the dustbin. Yes. And then you just leave that dustbin. And then over a couple of weeks, every scrap in the kitchen, you just put it into the dustbin. You with me? And yes. Nobody comes to clean that dustbin out. And the dustbin then starts to smell, starts to putrefy and rot, and all of that waste starts to churn, and there's a smell with it. But not only is there a smell with it, there's a lot of sort of disease and infection, rodents and whatnot. And so somebody has to come and get that dustbin and move it out of the house. And so that's what the lymphatic system is. It is our garbage removal system, and it takes garbage from the cells to the elimination system. So that would be my simplistic understanding of the lymphatics.
It's a very
love your analogies.
Picturesque analogy of the lymphatic system. So it's not a system you really can see. Meaning, you know what I mean? If you like you're saying that it's the garbage thing, does it happen in every single cell? Yes, there are the garbage trucks, right? The garbage trucks are the liver, if I'm using your analogy, the kidneys, I would think, the bladder, maybe the skin.
Yeah, so I mean, that's why I use the analogy of the kitchen, because you've got to still get your dustbin out of the kitchen and you've got to move it, you know, to the truck that comes past on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday. You've actually got to get that dustbin to that rubbish truck. If you don't get that dustbin to the rubbish truck, that junk, that garbage, that stuff that starts to putrefy, and I use that word really strongly, that stuff that starts to putrefy just sits in the house. And unfortunately, that's what happens with a lot of people's lymphatics, is that garbage that comes from each cell. So every cell in the body has a blood vessel coming to the cell, providing the nutrients that it needs. It has a vein going away from the cell, taking the deoxygenated blood. We've got that. But every cell has a lymphatic vessel coming away from it as well, taking all the garbage or all the offcuts, you know, that happen from cellular function. And I mean, just understand that the cells never stop. Even when you're sleeping, your cells are still churning in function. And there's a lot of byproducts or waste that you don't use within the cell that comes from cell production. And if I can take you into biochemistry, when I was studying biochemistry, I mean, there was something ridiculous like 11 cycles. Most people know of the Krebs cycle. That's your energy cycle. There was like 11 major biochemistry cycles. And at each step along that cycle, there's something that the body needs, and there's a byproduct that's coming off that has to be moved out of the body in some or other way.
So how do we clean out this rubbish?
Well, the simple answer is your lymphatic system moves when you move.
Right. So lesson number one is sedentary, absolute no-no.
100%. And I think that's where the lymphatic system is starting to become so much more well known in society, because more and more people are sedentary, unfortunately, and having more and more health issues associated with sedentary lifestyle. And they're not necessarily being able to address them effectively and cleanly unless we address the lymphatic system. And the lymphatic system doesn't have its own pump. The same as the venous blood, the vein blood that has got to get back to the heart, it doesn't have its own pump. The heart pumps blood to the body, but the body pumps stuff back to the heart, or, you know, away into the circulation through movement. And you've got to get your big movement parts of the body doing their job correctly.
So we've got to start the anthem. You've got to move it, move it. You've got to move it, move it. Okay, we're talking to Dr. Travis, and we're talking about the lymphatic system. We're going to get a little bit more into its details. If you have a question or you have a comment, 061-895-1019 is our WhatsApp number.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Faggy Stern.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show, and we're talking to Dr. Travis Mitchell, a chiropractor in Johannesburg, and we're talking about the lymphatic system. I have a question. If it is such an important part of our well-being, why isn't there a pump? Is there a defect in the creation of the lymphatic system?
Well, I mean, the man upstairs, you know, God or whatever anybody wants to refer him to, you know, for me, he created the body to move. Our body were designed to move, and designed to move very effectively. you know, we are one of the only animals that can walk upright. We are the only animal that walks upright as a standard setting. And so we've got real powerful muscles within our legs, especially, but definitely within our arms and even our abdominal muscles. There's a massive collection of lymphatic glands within the abdominal cavity that the abdominal muscles work with to be able to, you know, facilitate that circulation. So, you know, I don't think God designed us to sit, and certainly how we are in Western cultures, sitting all the time, you know, that is, I would say, a root cause of many, many problems that you ladies could have, you know, decades of conversation about.
Are there some people that have like a worse lymphatic system than others? Like some people really just can't, it's almost like a detoxification system.
Yeah, so I would say that there are some, if we can call them primary lymphatic system issues. And, you know, just to give the disclaimer, I'm not a lymphatic specialist. I have an interest in lymphatics. So, yeah, I mean, I'd certainly say that in certain cases, there are primary lymphatic issues, which would need to be specifically diagnosed. And I'm sure a lymphatic specialist would know how to do that. I know that there are quite a few, some decent ones within South Africa, and they do brilliant work at diagnosing that. A lot of the times it's actually just through palpation and feeling the flow of the lymphatic system, like you would palpate your pulses. I can't profess to tell you that I can feel the lymphatic system, but definitely from a clinical picture, you definitely get to see that somebody is much more toxic or much more inflamed. And that's really where the interest for me is. I have a patient that comes to see me with relatively simple spinal issues, according to my side, and yet from a pain and from an inflammatory point of view, massive. Massive. And then chiropractically, I start working, and I think it's going to be a relatively simple approach to helping that person correct their spinal issues. And months later, we're still struggling. And the underlying reason is they have that toxicity, that chronic inflammation, and perhaps even infections within their body that's just not clearing out.
So just in terms of movement, like, what happens if we're not able to, or we can't, or we don't like to do specific exercise? Is it just movement? Is it means that I finish the radio show, I should get up and, you know, walk the block? Or does it mean that I have to have these high intensity, you know, training sessions? Does yoga move my lymphatic system? Like, when you're talking about movement, let's define it and unpack it. What moves? I do know one thing that I've got that I believe moves the lymphatic system, and that's the rebounder, jumping up and down like a little kid. But let's just talk about all the different ways that you can create movement in your body.
Well, but I wanted to jump to something you said, if I don't like movement. This is something that I hear very often in the healthcare situation. People will say to me, but I don't like water, or I don't like whatever. Just know your body doesn't care whether you like it or not. It's a necessity. So if we can change that conversation, and you know, certainly when it comes to food, if my son says he doesn't like the taste of food, I'm like, I don't care. It's nutritious. You get that stuff down. Once a week, do what you want. But the rest of the time, your body needs movement. So let's not talk about whether you like it or not. But to come to your question specifically, Adil, when we look at the viscosity, so that's the thickness of fluid, the viscosity of blood is different to the viscosity of the lymphatic fluid. And the lymphatic fluid is much thicker, for want of a better word, than your blood flow. And your blood flow moves around the body much quicker. So certainly with the lymphatic stuff, you need a different type of movement. And I'm glad that you asked this kind of question, because what they have found is, you know, much more sort of slow, rhythmical movements, rebounding being a good example of that. I think, you know, yoga flows is a good example of that, is so much more beneficial to your lymphatic system. Might not necessarily get the circulation as much as you want in terms of cardiovascular, going for a run, or this high intensity stuff. But they've found that the high intensity stuff is not necessarily as effective as impacting the lymphatics. So, you know, within the nature of your day or your week, you have to have combination of both. And hopefully on previous talks that I've done, I've brought Goldilocks into the conversation because she was really smart. She said, not too hot, not too cold, but net sweat, just right. And so when it comes to exercise, I think a combination is good for the whole body, but certainly for the lymphatic system, much more slower, much more rhythmical, and much more longer movements. So again, flexibility, stretching, that kind of stuff.
I found also with the lymph drainage massage, I mean, that kind of massage is really painful. It's almost like they're really trying to get that lymphatic system moving.
Well, Faggy, as far as the lymph specialist that I know, lymph massage shouldn't necessarily be that painful. I was going to say that perhaps that person was addressing the fascia, because the fascia and the lymph are very intimately related to each other. And again, fascia is, if there's something that you ladies want to chat about, I'm not a fascial specialist, but fascia is really interesting. And fascia is becoming also really a buzzword more recently. But the fascia and the lymph seem to work really closely together. So if there are fascial adhesions, I think the lymphatic system is dramatically impacted by that. But lymph massage should be very, very, very soft and very, very smooth, and it's always coming to the heart. And maybe that's something we can chat about, is how the lymphatic circulates through the body.
That's like dry brushing. When you do the dry brushing, everything goes to your heart. That's also cleaning out the lymph.
Correct. Yeah, so I think dry brushing is great. I was advised that by a lymph specialist, and I've been doing it. I used to think that I was starting to get my dad's old man hands, and I was like, this is terrible. And at the end of the day, you know, when I took my socks off, there were those indentations into my legs. And I was like, what's happening here? And so, yeah, I dry brush twice a day. You have to go from your hand to your armpit, from the top of your head down to your collarbone or your clavicle, from your belly button to your clavicle, from your belly button to your groin, and from your feet to your groin. And some lymph specialists that I've seen, they also suggest actually triggering the lymph nodes in various parts of your body.
I've actually seen that on social media a lot, where they actually show you where it is that you have to press, and they do it daily.
So let me, I've got two questions. First question is, why are you pushing the lymph system or the drainage towards the heart? You'd think that you would want to be doing it from top to bottom. And the way you're describing it, it seems like you're going from bottom to top or bottom to center of the body.
Well, it's interesting. There's a little connection to the heart. It's called the thoracic duct. And it's the one of the, I think there's only a couple of connections of the lymphatic system, which goes back to the heart. And then the heart will then pump that to your elimination organs. Earlier, you spoke about the liver and the kidneys and the bile and the bladder. And so the lymph is then taken to the elimination systems, and they are then, then removed out of the body. So it has to get back to the heart in order for the heart to send it to the elimination system.
So how does rebounding work then? Because what I understood from rebounding is that your jumping up and down is opening and closing the lymphatic system. I've got to be honest, in my head, I'm not picturing it 100%, because like it's not like an organ, like, you know, explain to me the heart and I see where things are going. Like I'm trying to picture every cell has waste. It has to move. If I jump up and down somehow, it will get shoved through the lymphatic duct. I'm trying to get the modus operandi here.
Well, it does also sound maybe that the heart is very much connected and the blood.
Yeah, so in terms of rebounding, Adel, I won't have that answer for you. As what I've heard is it creates like a hydraulic pumping system that moves it. Obviously, it has a dead end, which means it has to get to the heart. You know, so on the one end of the system, it's closed, on the other end of the system, it's open. And so within the body, within a vacuum, and I'm just hypothesizing at this point in time, within a vacuum, as you're pumping, it can't go this way, so it has to go that way, and eventually it makes its way to the heart. The key is movement. And the key is with the rebounding is that slow, rhythmical bouncing. And ultimately, you shouldn't be bouncing for like 2, 3, 4 minutes. You should be bouncing for 10, 15, 20 minutes at least once or twice a day. And you shouldn't be high intensity, as what I've heard.
I was
with
just
the
about
rebounding.
To say, I'm laughing at you because go Google on YouTube rebounding and you've got these men, maniac ladies going jump, 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 jump. And they're like thinking, like, if I had to do that, I'd go flying, break, you know, fall over, break off my bones. And I'm going, okay, no, I'm not doing that.
Good question. Because as a chiropractor, let's say someone has a disc issue, should they be rebounding?
Yeah, so coming back to the rebounding side, if you're rebounding, and again, what I understand about rebounding is going into the trampoline and coming back to normal, rather than trampolining, which is actually leaving the trampoline. Now, when you leave the trampoline, you are fully decompressing the body, yeah? However, when you land, back in physics days, if you guys can remember, force is mass times acceleration. So if you are landing into the trampoline at double your body weight, that is double your body weight compressing into your spine. And most people with disc issues don't have good spinal stability mechanisms. Unfortunately, they don't. So that compression into your spine is terrible for you. So my answer for trampolining for spines, don't do it. Whereas in rebounding, you're not decompressing and compressing. You're creating a pumping action and ultimately doing that with your calf. Your calf is one of the greatest muscles that actually promotes venous and lymphatic circulation. So for me, rebounding is different from your Instagram ladies that are high intensity going crazy. I mean, from a cardiovascular point of view, I think that type of rebounding is brilliant. But from a lymphatic point of view, I would argue that.
So let's talk about the next thing, and that's lymph nodes. Like I have a reflexologist, she comes once a week. You know, I do reflexology at the end of the week to try also like move things out, and maybe we can talk about reflexology in terms of the lymphatics. But lots of times she'll go, okay, let me like work the lymphatics on your hands. And I truthfully, she has to hold me down because I can slap her, because there are times that it really, really is sore.
Yeah, so the lymph nodes, they're like the police station that sits along the lymphatic channel. And the lymph nodes carry a lot of your immune cells. So if there's anything that is potentially harmful within the lymph that needs to be sorted out, as it passes through the lymph node, the immune cells, the white blood cells, the lymphocytes will then attack that and then destroy it as part of neutralizing whatever is within your lymphatic system. And so that's why a lot of people have ongoing sort of underlying or subclinical infections that is in their body and within the lymphatic system. And that's why if you palpate along those lymph channels, you will feel that there are some sore lymph nodes in different parts. And again, that's why when you move over them, they are, you know, excruciatingly painful. Within your hands, again, I don't know much about reflexology, but what I would say that most of us are clawing onto something on a day-to-day basis, whether it's our phone, our steering wheel, our husbands or wives, we're clawing onto them. And so that will contract whatever happens within the fascia of the hand. And I can imagine that would make the lymphatics there really quite sludgy. Medical
well, what
word,
would be like some sludgy. Signs and symptoms that someone's lymphatic system is sludgy? Like some people really struggle with migraines or headaches.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of lymphatics that would be in relationship to a lot of people's problems. So, you know, if you're talking about headaches, I wouldn't say that lymphatics would be the only cause of a headache. But certainly in terms of a person that has a lot of toxicity within their system, headaches are very common. I think water retention for a lot of people is a problem. And I think the lymphatics is going to be related to that. I think a person who struggles with body temperature, I think the lymphatics is going to be related to that. A person who is lethargic on a regular basis, a person who has brain fog, a person who has, you know, chronic sinusitis, a person who, you know, tonsillitis. Oh, this is a fun one. Most people don't know that the tonsils are actually lymph nodes.
Wow.
They are really important lymphatic system for your head and neck. And so, you know, when a person's getting recurrent tonsillitis, just pause and think, maybe there's something happening with your lymphatic system. And I mean, the simple medical approach to tonsillitis is after the second or third time your tonsils are frothed, let's whip them out. But maybe we should be looking at the lymphatic system, you know, way prior to that and then saying, wait, there's something happening. And certainly within Joburg scenario, you know, we have a lot of pollution. We have a lot of pollutants and allergens and those kind of things. Our lymphatic system has to be effective at moving that through.
This is a big point, something that we've been pushing. And certainly when we interview Dr. Jack Cussell, a pediatrician, he keeps on shouting that the worst thing one can do, unless there are specific indications, which we've discussed in other podcasts, is not to remove the adenoids and the tonsils, because they are your first defense against being sick. But that's for another conversation. If you want to join this conversation about the lymphatic system, if you've got any questions, 061-895-1019 is our WhatsApp number.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Faggy Stern.
We're talking to Dr. Travis Mitchell, and we're talking the lymphatic system. Let's talk now about food and water. Surely they have an effect on the lymphatic system, because garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah, I mean, we have to come back to what we're putting into the body on a regular basis. You know, if you go back to the analogy that I started with, you know, if we're cooking with good food in the beginning, yeah, I think you help your body significantly. Unfortunately, we expose ourselves to a lot of toxicity on a chemical level. And even nowadays with our fresh produce, there's a lot of toxicity that's, you know, used in terms of pest control and whatnot. And we're still getting exposure to that. So, you know, definitely we have to look at what we're eating and what we're drinking as it impacts, because whatever we're getting into the body, you know, that then goes into the cell and into the intercellular environment, which is the space around the cells. And that's where the lymphatics has to do its most work. So if you are incredibly clean and clear in what you're putting into the body, I don't think your lymphatic system is going to have that much difficulty. And we certainly know the immune system is negatively impacted by your lifestyle choices from a food and from a hydration point of view. And the lymphatic system and the immune system are very closely related to each other. So 100%, Adel, I agree with you. You know, garbage in, garbage out.
It's so interesting that you talk about like the toxins, because even as something as simple as a deodorant that we're using that has all the chemicals inside it, surely that's really close to, you know, that just gets absorbed into the lymphatic system.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I'm so interested in the lymphatic system, Faggy, is because, you know, as a teenager, you know, having to smell good for the ladies and making sure I was covering all of my hormones, I used to use tremendous amount of deodorant, and I used to get incredibly swollen lymph nodes within my armpits, and so much so that I couldn't actually bring my arm down to my side. It felt like I had golf balls in my armpits. And then the only alternative at that point was to go without a deodorant. And it's no surprise I had no girlfriends when I was in high school, only later to find out that there are so many wonderful ways that you can find deodorant without.
There's so many natural options. And we all I actually was listening to a podcast the other day, and the guy was saying how there's like aluminum in the deodorants that we're using.
Yeah. So I think also one has to look at creams that you apply to the body. There's also detergents that we have on our clothes, you know, shampoo options. You know, there's lots of toxicity that we come to on a day-to-day basis. And all of this, your body has to process. And the way that it processes is through the garbage removal system, which is the lymphatic, and through the elimination system. Now, it's very interesting. If a person's not moving correctly, their metabolism is a lot slower. So they keep more weight on. Yeah, they have more fat buildup. That then makes it even more sluggish. So you can see how there is this constant knock-on effect that gets to a point where the lymphatic system is super sluggish. And ultimately, the body's just going to say, well, I'm just going to stay in this sludgy lymphatic, you know, putrefied toxicity mess. And it's constantly keeping you not well.
Well, listen, the couch potato like scenario is like, you know, a person could embrace it very easily, but it is against all common sense. Let's just talk about the drinking of fluid. And here, you know, will things like water, you know, you were talking about the viscosity of the lymph system, right? Surely, like when you are properly hydrated, then you have the ability to drain your body better than if you are dehydrated. And then that comes to the whole question of what happens when we're drinking things that dehydrate you, like coffee.
Yeah, so I don't know the exact impact of hydration on the lymphatic system. But what I do know, which is really important, is hydration on the cells and hydration on the intercellular environment is vitally important. And we have a very delicate balance from the inside of a cell to the outside of the cell. And that's very much dependent on two things, the hydration that we have and the electrolyte balance that we have. And if our cells are functioning well and the intracellular space is not completely clogged or congested, then the lymphatic system has a much easier time. You know, as soon as the cell is not functioning at its full capacity, and that will be because the hydration mechanism is not well, or the intracellular, the space between the cells is congested, your lymphatic system is going to be so much more overloaded and challenged. And so if you're challenging it on that level, but you're moving well, I think you've done okay. But if you're challenging on that level and you're moving poorly, I mean, that's a 2-for-1 special. And we all love 2-for-1 specials, particularly with the Black Friday coming up. But with the body, 2-for-1 specials, never a good idea.
Speaking about 2-for-1 specials, what about sauna and ice bath?
Yeah, so it's super interesting. I do a lot of ice bathing. I really love the ice bathing, Fagi. I know you and I, we've chatted a little bit about this off air. And certainly what we've seen is the sort of changing between hot and cold, you know, has a great impact on cellular movement as well as circulation movement. But that's because the circulation system has a lot of contractile tissue within it. I don't know much about the lymphatic system in terms of whether it has that contractile tissue, but it is going to enhance circulation. And what we do know, especially about the ice baths and somewhat about the sauna, is it really enhances your metabolism. And so ultimately, the metabolism is how quickly our cells do their function and their movement. So, you know, when we have really fat, lazy cells, you're going to have that really fat, sluggish lymphatic system. When you've got cells that are moving at a quick pace, your lymphatic system does that movement as well. So yeah, I think it's a great addition.
Well, it'll also be the detoxification through the skin.
Sure. And ultimately, anytime you're helping the body to detox or to eliminate better, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Certainly a product that I've looked at quite a lot is your sort of chlorellas and spirulina, which is a real good cellular cleanse. And I do know I spend a lot of time with homeopaths. There's a wonderful product called Lymphomyosot, and it really helps to get into your lymphatic systems. And if your listeners are not dealing with a homeopath in this regard, I think it's a missing. You know, certainly there are homeopaths and other practitioners that do something called live blood analysis. And I mean, that then helps to see what's happening, you know, within the circulation. You know, if we see within the circulation a lot of the lymphatic products, well, we know that you're not eliminating correctly. Your lymphatics might be getting back to circulation, but you're not eliminating it correctly.
Okay, we're talking to Dr. Mitchell, Dr. Travis Mitchell, and we've been talking lymphatics. This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show with Adel Kosilski and Fagi Stern.
Well, I guess to sum it up, I'm going to have to rebound a little bit more. And after the radio show, I'm just going to walk around the block. Faggy, what are you doing? Because you're sitting on the couch, Faggy. I can see.
Yeah, it depends. I think maybe the sauna might be an easier option than taking a walk. But a nice little drink of electrolytes and a sauna session sounds like a nice idea.
It looks like you're biting your nails there, Dr.
Not even that. Like, literally, you can look online, you can find all the people that sit there, like, you know, massaging their lymph nodes in their neck.
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing that I can say across the board as a global concept for all aspects of health: consistency. No matter what you do, do it consistently. And the key with consistently is daily, not weekly. Daily. So
no,
I think that's what a lot of people, I think a lot of people get that wrong, is they go and do something, you know, once a week or once a month, rather than necessarily doing something on a day-to-day basis.
You know what the interesting thing is, though? I feel like we all overwhelm ourselves and think that we have to go to the gym for an hour, but if you literally just take like a 20-minute walk, it will do the job.
You certainly can. Okay, it's been, as always, it's been grand. And we love engaging with you, Dr. Travis. You're a wealth of information, and we really, really thank you for your time and your expertise. This is the Healthy You, Wealthy You show, and this is 101.9 High FM.